with that process, coverages that he's seeing as fast as he should. Arthur Smith sounds like a guy who feels like most of that, whatever might be a negative, is correctable and loves the positives. And I don't really blame him for feeling like... I thought it was noteworthy that he pointed out he really isn't wrong. He said he's barely older than some of the guys that just got drafted. He's only like a year and a half older than a guy like Fautanu, I think, who's like 23 and some
change.
He's
Bo Nixon, Michael Penix's age.
Right. I mean, Cam Rising, I think, at Utah is actually older than him, which is kind of insane.
There's a game with Utah and Oklahoma State this weekend
where both quarterbacks, the starting quarterback age combined is 49, and there's it's Caleb Williams
and C.J. Stroud from the
44.
Or Ian
Richardson.
Okay, Caleb Williams and Richardson for this Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I just think I think it's very noteworthy that he says that about the age, because I think that that's a coded way of saying whatever this guy's baggage was from stop one in his career, like, you shouldn't, if you're an analyst or you're a fan who likes to have very strong opinions about the sport, you shouldn't say just because he hasn't shown he can do this yet in the NFL that he won't be able to do it because he hasn't been in a place that gave him a real shot. Well, and I think Arthur Smith... because he ran an offense that got to an AFC title game, Arthur Smith probably feels like, and I am absolutely the kind of coordinator capable of getting the most out of this player.
I think it's manufactured right now because Wilson clearly isn't healthy. So, and I think he is now finally like making peace with that. Not making peace, but like is realizing that. So it's he's not creating an issue yet, but it really does make me think we are headed towards a potential blow up if Wilson thinks he's healthy and he's not playing and he knows he's teetering as an NFL quarterback and his whole football life is almost flatlining. What is going to happen when he thinks he's ready to play, the doctors say he can play, and they're still going with Fields?
The reason it could be a blow up is because even if Fields is like 7-1 at that point, like, it's not going to last that long, I don't think, although who knows with these calf injuries. But let's just hypothetically say it did for a second. Say Fields played the first 7 games and went 7-1, or first 8 games 7-1,
which is, I think, entirely possible.
Okay,
with their schedule,
fair enough. I do too, actually, with the way just the league looks right now. If Wilson actually had to stay out for that long, and then finally that was when he genuinely was 100% again, it took a while, but he got there. I think even seeing 7-1 Justin Fields, who might have like superlative numbers as far as like touchdown to interception ratio, maybe he's only thrown like 8 touchdowns, but he's run for 3 or 4 more, and he's only thrown like 1 interception pony. I think Wilson, there'd be a large part of him saying, that isn't good enough to keep me on the bench. Like, I deserve to go back in there and get my shot. And I don't think almost any other rational person would say that that is the case. Because it's not like it would be a guy who had come out of the mists, right, to like show up as like an undrafted free agent and, wow, this guy's balling out. Remember Anthony Wright for the Steelers many, many years ago?
Also the Ravens.
Right.
Guy, the Cowboys.
But a guy like that, a guy who had like no pedigree at all, it wouldn't be like saying, wow, this guy had like a rabbit's foot, a four-leaf clover, all that stuff, and got lucky. And wow, he played great, but thanks, buddy. Go take your seat on the bench. This is a dude picked 2 rounds before Wilson got picked, respectively, in their own drafts. A guy who got picked, what was Fields, 13th in his draft or 15th, something like that? He was top 15 pick is the point. Mm-hmm. So, like, if he goes after a kind of disappointing first stop in the NFL and is doing this, I'm sorry, if you're Russell Wilson, you might think that that wouldn't be good enough to keep you on the bench. You would be the only person in the United States who would feel that way, with the possible exception of your wife.
Donnie, what do you think Russell Wilson will do when he find, like, if it gets to that point, he's healthy, he's been deemed healthy, the doctors have cleared him to play, and Justin Fields is still the starting quarterback? What do you think he does then?
Tries to make another Mr. Unlimited video? I don't know. I mean, I think there could be a blow-up from Russell Wilson. We know what, like, a quirky guy he is. By the way, Justin Fields was 11th overall. The Bears traded up in 21 to get him.
That's right.
But I don't know if he has, and it's going to sound like a punny joke with the calf thing. I don't know if he has much of a leg to stand on. If Fields would actually have this team at some point in the next few weeks, I mean, say they've lost one game, say they haven't lost any. and he's protecting the football more than anything. The offense is actually moving it a little bit. Maybe they're not lighting up the scoreboard. What kind of argument does Russell Wilson have that he could actually take them over the top at this point?
He wouldn't have a good one, but he might say, I'm better. Okay, you guys clearly don't think I'm better than Justin Fields, but here are two or three other opportunities that I'd like you to explore. Can you try to release me and let me sign there, or can I get traded to one of those teams?
I think that could definitely happen. I mean, we already saw the other day, and I still think it's weird going back and watching it or listening to it. That sounded like a full-fledged, prepared statement from the Russell Wilson people that Mike Tomlin read off in his press conference the other day.
Did you pick up on that too, Chris? He had a script when he was talking about the injuries.
I honestly, just a little inside baseball, in our prep for that day's show and then the way the show unfolded, I was stunned, and I think Donnie might have been too. I was stunned that you did not bring that up as a major talking point, and I almost felt like I should have. Donnie and I listened to it in my car on the way in, and then I watched it back on their YouTube feed. It is the strangest I have ever heard Mike Tomlin sound in a presser.
Well, let's ask Fittipaldo about that in a few minutes when he joins us.
I mean, Mike is usually the guy who wins that press conference, whether people like what he says or not, because he always sounds so on message and prepared. Like,
well, also, he's so good at coming up with
he obfuscates the actual story.
But I'm just saying, but like thinking on his feet, I don't know if he went into that with the hot dog line prepared, but he did it to a question, and it took off. People loved it. He usually is so comfortable in that situation, even if he's like bombastic or argumentative or short with people.
He's in control.
Yeah,
is the point.
And he's pausing and he's stuttering on himself, just talking about quarterback injuries. Tuesday, that was so bizarre.
He seemed like, I told you this, I think, off the air, and I said it to Donnie too, but I'll say it. He reminded me when he read that of like a national news anchor, if we were breaking in for a special news bulletin, like reading horrible news, like back when Cronkite who broke the Kennedy news?
Yeah.
It was like that for being halting, like the guy is making sure he's getting right what's in front of him on the paper. It was just, it was very jarring to hear from a guy who literally never talks like that.
Let's hear a little bit of Justin Fields. He is readying himself to start. He told Aditi and CBS before the Denver game, I don't plan on giving this job back. I intend on keeping it. Let's hear what he's saying about the matchup with the Chargers.
Justin, the home opener this week, what's it going to be like for you coming out of the tunnel with the starters in this game?
Well, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to this weekend and, you know, playing the Chargers. It's going to be a good matchup. Great team over there, so excited for it.
Justin, you guys have only targeted so far beyond the sticks 12 times this year. What parts of the offense do you feel are opening up to allow you to throw further downfield more consistently in this offense?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first stat.
You guys, have targeted down beyond the sticks 12 times this year on plays that have counted. What about this offense do you think is opening up to allow you to do that more consistently in this offense?
I think everybody, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, our O-line has been great so far with protection, and then we have guys downfield that can make downfield play, so you know that too right there, you know, that's pretty much the recipe for that one, to be honest with you.
Do you feel like Arthur Smith is working more with you to open up parts of the offense to make that more available?
I mean, we're just trying to, you know, win the down at the end of the day, so we might do different things in terms of get the first down, so that's throwing beyond the six, that's what it's doing. So like I always say, we can do multiple things as an offense to do whatever needs to be done. So yeah.
All right, so was that was the question there meant to say you guys are conservative or you've been more aggressive than most teams?
I thought it was more
did Chris mean to ask him, like, you've only done it a little bit, and now are you hoping it opens up more? Or was he saying you've opened it up already? Why have you been able to do that?
I thought it was the latter.
I was just confused by Fields with the question.
I thought it was the latter. Like, what has allowed you to open it up a little bit more than you did, like, in week one, I guess? I think he has to be citing there, if I'm hearing it right, he has to be implying that the first half was a much more wide-open offense
for
them.
Well, let's get one more from Arthur Smith in here on that. This is a comment where he's saying it's not conservative, it's smart to play the way that we have the first couple of games.
I think you see, especially early in the league, if you're not careful, you see a lot of games lost more than won. Teams being sloppy with the ball, and we haven't been perfect. You know, we've had two on the ground, and we've recovered them. Those turnovers, you see that a lot early in the year, and you got to be careful how you want to protect them, because you can lose confidence, too. If you hang them out to dry, and you're playing a veteran rush group, and you're talking about a great player can lose confidence. I've seen that happen. If we weren't built the way we were, you may get in some obvious, more obvious passing situations, but the way we've been playing team football, it's allowed us to keep them out of obvious pass situations, and that's where a lot of young guys get lit up in this league.
So that answer, I think, speaks to the fact that he does think he doesn't want to throw Fields to the Wolves, because he is acknowledging that there's a fragility or a temperamentality possibly to him struggling and it completely shattering his confidence and hurting the player long term. Which, look, you don't want to expose a bad player. But again, you can tell even in that answer from Smith that there's careful consideration for Fields because they think that there's something special.
It reminds me of the way I just recall the Steelers handling Cordell when he won the job back in 2000 after Kent Graham, possessor of the largest ass in football history, I think you've said.
Yes.
Like bigger than some left tackles.
Massive ass.
Kent Graham ceded the job back to Cordell, and I remember as a kid, not a kid, I was a teenager, watching those games. They were very careful to run game plans that really tried to put Cordell in positions to succeed and, like, slowly build him back up. And then he exploded in 01 and was very good pretty much all season, went back to the Pro Bowl and everything. It feels like what Smith just said about Fields is convenient. You know why? Because it dovetails with the philosophy Tomlin wants to have anyway. Smith wants to protect the player a little bit here. Tomlin's more than happy to run to have him calling plays that are essentially protecting the player.
And they're built to get away with it because their defense is so good.
And the schedule has been built to a...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Allow them to get away with it.
It's Ray Fittipaldo time, brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity, LGKG.com. Steelers insider for the Post-Gazette. Ray, is Roman Wilson going to play on Sunday?
Well, Tony, he was a full participant today in practice, which was really good news. I think that's the first time he's been full since he injured that ankle way back in late July. Is he going to get a helmet? I don't know. It's still not a lot of practice time, so I'd be a little bit surprised if he did get a helmet on Sunday. But listen, that time is coming soon. They're not getting a lot of production from the Van Jeffersons, the Calvin Austins, or the Scotty Millers of the world, so you might as well throw Roman Wilson out there when he's ready. I just don't know if he's ready just yet.
Ray, any... status, is it status quo? Any changes behind Justin Fields as far as the quarterbacks to your eye today?
No. Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback on Sunday. He's going to play the full game. And just, you know, talking to Russ after practice today, it was a very short conversation. I'm not even sure why they brought him to the podium. He's not cleared yet. He said he's getting closer, but I don't get the sense that he's close to playing anytime soon. So I think we had this discussion last week. I think it's going to be Justin Fields for a little while longer, and then we'll see where Russ is probably sometime in October.
Wow, so you think that initial timetable of him coming back for that Indianapolis game, Ray, has been pushed back?
No, I'm not saying he can't play in Indianapolis next week, but he hasn't been a full participant yet. And I suppose – he can go out there on Wednesday and be a full participant next week, and you know, then maybe he'd be in position to play. But you know, I don't even know if we'll have that conversation if the Steelers beat the Chargers. You know, the Steelers might kind of work at the that he's not going to be a full participant. So kind of status quo there. I don't think there's a lot of news there with the quarterbacks this week.
How about Broderick Jones, Ray? Can you give me a sense of – I know he was going to toggle between right and left tackle, but did you get a sense that one of those was being favored here, that his workload was split a certain way?
Not really. I mean, Chris, I wasn't out there for the individual portion today, so I don't know where he worked early in practice. But when they do team stuff, the swing tackle is bouncing back and forth because – you know, that's what he has to do for the game. That's what he has to do to prepare for this coming football game. So, you know, I think that's the way they're going to work it. They're going to try to give him as many reps as they can to get his confidence back up, to get him back to the player that he was in the middle of last year. And, you know, I think practice is a good place to do that. I would be surprised if he's out there in any capacity on Sunday other than if there's an injury.
Ray, where did things go south for him?
You know, Tony, I think a lot of times, you know, fans out there, and I think I'll throw myself in there too, media, you know, we kind of wanted to make excuses for him. You know, it's, you know, the elbow or the other injury or going back and forth between left and right tackle. But, you know, sometimes you just get outplayed by your peers. And I think Troy Fautanu came in and was clearly the better player in training camp, and you know, Broderick never really got a chance to go to the left side because of Troy's injury. So, you know, bad luck maybe because he didn't get the rep on the left side and have that competition with Dan. But you know, even in the first 2 weeks, guys, I mean, it wasn't like he was outperforming Dan in any capacity. Dan was clearly the better player, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Broderick Jones is going to be a bust, but not every number 14 overall pick is a Pro Bowler or is a cornerstone to your offensive line. So maybe we kind of have to start thinking about Broderick in a different way until he gets back into the lineup.
Oof, that feels ominous, but I'm going to leave it there for now, Ray. Something going back to Wilson here that Pony and I were kicking around, wanted to ask you about. Mike Tomlin, known in his press conferences on Tuesday, I think, Ray, for being pretty much in command. Like, he might say something off the cuff, like the hot dog line, but he always knows what he wants to say. He's pretty on message, and he's very smooth and confident sounding.
Yep.
Have you ever seen him answer a question in the manner he did the one about Russell Wilson and health and their plan moving forward?
Well, it wasn't
with
a question.
Yeah,
he was just reading off the
you're
injuries.
Right. Thank you, Pony.
Yeah.
It was during the injury portion. He gets to Wilson, and he mentions Wilson almost as an aside from Sayamalu, and then goes into what I would only describe as, for his standards, a very halting, uncomfortable-sounding explanation of what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the transcript, and that transcript just went on and on with his opening statement. I mean, he is a master of talking and then limiting the questions from the reporters. You know, I will reference, I think it was Ashley from Channel 4 kind of just, you know, asked him again about where the competition was, and he said it was debatable just like it was before the first game of the season. And I don't ever remember him saying the competition was debatable, you know, when he named the starter. I think he kind of said it was it was close, and they're going with Russell because of his experience. So, you know, when I heard that answer, I sort of thought to myself, okay, maybe he's laying the groundwork. If Justin Fields continues to win, and if Justin Fields continues to play well, that, you know, maybe he's trying to have a soft landing there if there's any kind of a controversy. I still don't think we're there yet, Chris. I still think Justin probably has to keep on winning and continue to play well for that to be a conversation. But through two games, he's done a pretty good job so far.
You've been around Russell Wilson since minicamp, Ray. What do you think would happen with him if he was cleared by the doctors to play and he was still the backup quarterback?
Boy, I mean, that's a good question, Pony. I think he would be a good soldier to the media. in the locker room, but probably behind the scenes, you know, they'd probably be having some conversations and trying to get some answers about, you know, why that happened to him, you know. So, you know, Russ has been really good so far. I think he's a good team player, but if that would happen to him, that would be a situation really that's never happened to him before. I know there was that strange situation with the, you know, they didn't want to get him injured last year, so that's why he lost his starting job. He didn't lose it for any other reason. This would be like another gray area. You know, you lose your job because somebody else is playing well. So I don't know what would happen there, but I will tell you that at least in front of the public, Russell wouldn't make us think about it.
Ray, do you think that Mike Tomlin is holding back Arthur Smith?
No. You know, Arthur talked today about the first half, and, you know, I think there's a tendency because the second half was so bad that, you know, maybe people forgot about how good that first half was. I mean, they only got it into the end zone once, but they did put up a lot of yardage, and, you know, they were moving the ball up and down the field. So, you know, sometimes maybe it is just a matter of those penalties and you know, players just playing bad in that second half. And, you know, that's probably what did them in that game. I mean, honestly, guys, that probably should have been a 2-touchdown victory or more if they do what they have to do and score touchdowns in the first half. And then if they play better in the second half. So a lot of talk this week about the dam breaking and a breakout game. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I definitely think it's coming, but if they could put two halves together like they did in the first half in Denver, they'll be on the right track.
I think they want the dam to stay up. If you've got Easton Stick in there for the Chargers,
well,
and they're playing
the
number one defense in the NFL, they ain't going to open things up, Ray. They're going to try to beat the Chargers the same way they beat Denver and Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, last I saw, the early reports were Justin Herbert was not on the practice field for the viewing portion of the Chargers media. I don't know what he did the rest of that practice. Listen, if Justin Herbert doesn't play, then, yeah, they're probably going to shut it down. They think they could beat Easton Stick in the same manner
Freudian
that they
slip,
beat
Ray, I get it.
Yeah. But, listen, if Justin Herbert is out there, we all know he's a top 10 quarterback in this league, and they're probably going to have to play a lot better on offense if he's out there if they want to win this game.
How much of a difference whenever it happens, and I guess it could be this week even though he didn't practice because he's a veteran, how much of a difference do you think Seumalo is going to make to them offensively when he's finally back?
Yeah, I mean, the running game has been good overall. You know, I think definitely above average, and I think the pass protection has been solid too. So when you throw in you know, probably one of your top two offensive linemen back into the mix, it's going to be much better. I would expect the rushing numbers to tick up, and I just think that cohesion of having a vet in there would help a lot. So you're right, he's not going to play this week, but, you know, I just go back to them not putting him on IR to start the season. They kind of knew it was going to be a 2 or 3 week injury. It's turned out to be a 3 week injury, so I would expect to see him out there next week against the Colts.
Ray Fittipaldo, top Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
All right, it is Total Request Thursday. 5:30 means you pick the topic. You had four options. Pitt volleyball, Broderick's benching, Big Ben, first ballot HOF, Skeens, ROY race. 34.9% of you said, let's spend some time talking about the number one team in America in the sport of volleyball, the Pitt volleyball team. And their straight set win over number three Penn State last night at the Pete. There were over 11,000 people there. Did they have a sellout in basketball last year?
Maybe. Not sure, though.
I mean, I saw some of
Electric
the video
factory
that people showed when it went final, and it looked raucous is the word I will go with there.
Yes, it was an electric factory there last night.
Are we a volleyball town?
We're becoming one. They haven't lost a single set, I don't think.
They have not.
They are. So what would that be, 21 for 21? I think they've played, what, 7 matches? I mean, they are an outrageous team. They look unstoppable right now, and I know I love watching women's volleyball on TV. It's much like, I think, women's tennis, where that game is a
lot. So you watched it?
I watched chunks. I didn't watch it
all.
It
was actually on TV?
I think it was on ACC Network.
Really?
I'm pretty sure, unless I'm completely insane. Because I had it on. So either I had it on my phone and I'm hallucinating here, or I had it on the TV, one or the other. And here's all I'll say. The whole sport in general, the women's sport, better than the men's sport. Just like men's tennis, inferior to women's tennis, in my opinion, because you get actual rallies in women's volleyball. Like, you don't have situations where men's tennis, remember when Sampras was, like, the dominant force? He would just ace everybody. Just constant bombardment on the serve.
Yes, I've heard this, too. So, like, the spiking and stuff and just the
and
power
men's,
of the men's
and men's volleyball, like, you're getting in the way of one of those spikes at your own peril. Now, women's, they're still hitting the snot out of the ball for a kill. But, like, you can still defend it. It's defensible.
It is interesting
and
that
it makes it much more fun.
I don't
to watch.
Have an explanation for why, of the non-revenue generating sports at Pitt, and other ones have done really well, like wrestling and men's soccer. This one, the women's volleyball, seems to be the one that has taken off and gotten fan support. I think the soccer team is ranked number 2 in the country. They're not getting 12,000 people a game there.
I can tell you why.
In the heart of the wrestling. This is a wrestling culture here.
I don't know how many times they've
put 12,000 people in the peat for a wrestling
event. I can tell you exactly why it does so well compared to those two. One, like, wrestling is interesting to watch if you know what you're watching, but sometimes if, like, you're trying to figure out how points are scored, it is tough. Soccer, a high-scoring game is 3-2. I think volleyball succeeds for two reasons. It is extremely fast-paced, and somebody is scoring every time. It's the points add up. People just want to see number go up, you know, number go brrr. And so you have something that's fast.
Yes, but generally speaking,
fast-moving and offensive.
Volleyball is
like
not
that.
A more popular sport than soccer. Soccer is a lower-scoring sport. So is hockey, a very low-scoring sport.
I'll tell you,
both of those sports are more popular than volleyball. In Pittsburgh, hockey is more popular than basketball, even though 200 points get scored in a basketball game.
Yes.
And maybe 6 goals get scored in a hockey game.
So it's
not always the scoring. I respect what you're saying, but that is not, in my opinion, that can't be the answer, because we see low-scoring points or low-scoring sports are extremely popular here. The Steelers and Chargers are going to play a low-scoring game on Sunday.
But the Steelers are an institution here. The Penguins are an institution. And Penguins, by the way, aren't even a good example. They have been the Harlem Globetrotters on ice for the entirety of their existence, practically. James Santelli, smart guy, probably the single biggest Pitt volleyball fan on Twitter, who's constantly trying to spread the gospel of Pitt women's volleyball.
He is. He's constantly doing it.
Yes. He took a sign
every
to the
hour.
He took a sign
tweeting.
To the backyard brawl saying, make sure everybody shows up at the Pete or I think is like watching
That's
or whatever.
That's a lot
for,
to put on a sign.
It was a very detailed sign. Men's college, he just had this out there because 2 volleyball matches, one on Big Ten Network, one on ESPN, Nebraska, Stanford, Louisville, and Kentucky respectively, went over 300,000 viewers last night, and then Texas Baylor had 296,000 on ESPN. Men's college basketball, just for comparison's sake, on ESPN2, the average viewership for a game, 299,000 people, 248,000 on Big Ten Network when they put an average men's game on. College hoops.
So volleyball is generating revenue like regular season.
It's starting to generate viewership like regular season college basketball.
Revenue. Yes.
That is wild,
it
dude.
Is.
But it is, I'm telling you, man, I think I have a better appreciation for it than I otherwise would because my sister-in-law played Division I volleyball.
And the guys that train me are volleyball guys, so I'm into it.
It's very athletic. If you've ever tried to do it, I don't know about you, I'm much more attuned if I didn't play the sport, if I at least tried to and it's difficult for me to play, I always have a better appreciation of it at the highest level. So, like, I suck at actually playing volleyball, even though my in-laws have tried to explain it to me, like, teach me how to play. I'm terrible at it whenever we try to. So I like it for those reasons. I understand it better because my sister-in-law actually played it at the highest level.
Congratulations on all her success.
Yes. A lack of student loans is all the congratulations she needed. But I love how fast-paced it is. It's easy. It's not hard to follow. Score here? Did they get a block? Whatever.
It got on Donnie's radar. Donnie clearly was interested in Pitt beating Penn State in volleyball and was tweeting about it last night. Donnie, do you have the tweet in front of you?
Oh, man, and I had this one in the hopper. You want me to be honest? I knew Pitt was going to win. I had this baby in the drafts ready to go. I was just hoping and praying not only
fun.
Would they win,
I
would they sweep. So I said Penn State volleyball, honoring James Franklin tonight by getting it handed to them by a top team in the country.
Did you get mostly attaboys, or did the Penn State fans invade that whole space and start to, like, try to fight with you and your other followers about how that was a low blow and a cheap shot and how many fans were at the Pitt game?
Oh, yeah, attendance you up there. Yeah. Probably more people at that game than their football games.
That really is
you, baby.
A favorite fallback.
Turnstile well, University.
It's so funny because before the backyard brawl, I got like a graphic sent to me that had obviously made the rounds on Twitter and Instagram and stuff that listed all of the West Virginia sellouts since the start of the first backyard brawl game in 2022, and then the Pitt sellouts, which are just the backyard brawls. They've sold out two games at Acrisure, the first backyard brawl, and then Saturday's game. And West Virginia had
sold
like,
out a bunch.
Had like 10
they were
or
turning 11. Into a little attendance you themselves.
And, yes, and but like again, sent to me by West Virginia fans is like, look at what a joke Pitt is, and it's just hysterical to me. When the scoreboard is not the actual win and loss record or the scores of the games, it's how many people
showed up to watch.
Game. Yes.
I mean, I'm surprised. Well, come on. Do I make the cheap joke for West Virginia? I'm surprised they can count that high and read those numbers.
I mean, if you're a Nebraska fan, they get.
I guess I just did.
They get 100,000 fans for their games.
I know.
They're going 6-6 every year. Like, do they feel high and mighty over? I don't know. What's a team that usually wins 10 or 11 games, doesn't have a huge fan base?
I will tell
you
this much. I do think that there is some legitimacy to the idea that because both West Virginia and Penn State fans tend to be almost like fans of those two teams respectively before any other, like they are diehard. I do think you have a lot more diehards there and more casuals among Pitt fans where like Pitt is a team that they enjoy. Like there's obviously plenty of diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Pitt fans. But I think it's like when Pitt is fun and good, okay, or I want to go to this game because it's a big event.
Sure.
You will get a lot of casual Pitt fans. In fact, I had a diehard Pitt fan telling me that he was sort of bummed out at how casual a lot of the people around him at this game, at the backyard brawl, seemed to be.
About their
like
interest
they
in
were
Pitt football?
They were Pitt fans, but it felt like to him, he was telling me, he's like, it felt like I was more just at, like, for those people, just something fun to do. Not like that rabid... holy crap, like I'm living and dying with every play here. He said he bemoaned that a little bit. He said it bummed him out because it just made him feel like that the hardcore nature of the fans was way more on West Virginia's side of it. But I feel like if you're Pitt, that's always going to be on, like kind of, it's going to be there for you. It's going to have to be something you deal with because you're in a pro town. State College, I understand I'm in a county with more Penn State grads than any other in the United States, I think, at this point. State College is far enough away where those people kind of, that's their fandom. Like, they're Penn State fans, and you develop that there independent of anything else. Same deal with West Virginia fans. And so I think when you're in Pittsburgh and you might be a Pitt fan, you are probably splitting that amongst many other teams where you might not be doing that to the same degree for the other two. Like, I know plenty of people who like the Penguins who are West Virginia fans, but, like, the West Virginia fandom is big there.
If I went to Pitt fans and said, you have two options. You're either going to win the ACC and you're going to punch your ticket to the college football playoff, and that's all I can promise you.
Mm-hmm.
You're in. I'm not guaranteeing you anything else, but you're in the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can guarantee you a volleyball national championship right now. What do you think most of them would take?
Pitt fans? I still think the revenue-generating sport there would win out because I just think you have a broader base of people who've been watching
okay.
it for a much longer time.
What if I changed it to men's NCAA tournament appearance, and that's all I'm guaranteeing you, you're one of 60?
I would actually take the volleyball one.
Really?
Yeah, because I've seen
you
them
get... You love college basketball.
I know, but I've seen them
you
make...
You love seeing the name in the bracket. You love seeing Gumbel sit there and say a 6 seed in Omaha, Pitt.
Dude, but I was invested last year when the women's team went to the Final Four. I was into those matches, man. Like, I would love to see Pitt in a
sport. So you take that over. Okay, so.
In a sport that's gaining visibility, like, and obviously gaining in popularity,
so
I think it would be absolutely
is,
badass to see Pitt rise to the top of that mountain.
So the trade off is, like, Pitt's basketball team is, like, an NIT team.
Yeah.
You're fine with that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what we almost had last year.
Man, you're getting into it.
dude, it's fast and it is fun to watch. It really is. It's easy to understand. It checks like every box for getting a new fan into the sport. It is not hard to understand the scoring. It is not particularly tough to understand the rules, and it goes quick.
I have a take. I just don't like the time of year of the sport. Why can't they play in the spring or in the summer?
Because they're going against dear old football.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pony.
When is the Final Four for volleyball? Is it in December or January?
It's definitely, yeah, it's cold weather, so I'm trying to remember when it was last year. I mean, I cannot lie to you and tell you
it's like a few weeks before Christmas, I would say.
Yeah, I can't lie to you and tell you I'm an ardent enough fan where I like have memorized the schedule the way we would with college football.
Move it to the spring so it ends in like May or June, like college baseball and college lacrosse. Do that.
But then fewer people are watching because they're out doing other stuff. This is like the time of year when it gets colder, some people are parked in front of the TVs a little more.
Yeah, watching football for the most part.
Well, it sounds like they're going up against football, which men's college basketball isn't doing, and that their biggest games are outdrawing it. So how bad really can it be? Maybe they should put it up against basketball. That's why they can't do it, Pony. They're putting these games on big networks right now, these matches. If you tried to do it during the springtime or like the, you know, like sports that start in late fall and go all the way into the spring like basketball.
No, I'm saying start it and make it a spring sport like lacrosse.
So when does it start?
So it starts when lacrosse and baseball start.
Which is when? February?
Like March or February.
Okay, yeah. But then you're missing some potential big matches. Like this is 1-3 last night because you're probably not putting them on TV because you've got a contractual obligation to put on like Boston College versus Incarnate Word in men's basketball on the ACC network, which was where this match was last night.
Fan weather brought to you by Sunshine.